Morning, everybody. Please take a seat, everyone. All right, good morning. Good to see everybody on this hazy, cloudy, Canadian-inspired morning. And welcome to our Board of Public Works meeting. First, I'd like to welcome Deputy Treasurer John Martin to the table, who is filling in for Treasurer Davis. Yesterday was Treasurer Davis's birthday, but we're going to celebrate a whole week for him, so he's not in today as well. What else I'd say, Curtis, he's also not here because there's some celebrations taking place, some graduations taking place in the Davis household. So on behalf of everybody here, we just want to say to the treasurer, who I know is looking on, congratulations and happy birthday. But we are very, very glad to have Deputy Treasurer Martin here. And thank you. And with that, Ms. Secretary, let's get started. And good morning.
Good morning. And good morning to you, Madam Comptroller, Chief Deputy Treasurer Martin. There are 25 items on the Secretary's agenda, 5 reports of emergency procurements. Item 25 is a supplemental item from Morgan State University. This is the contract for the phase 2 of this project to repair the steam and condensate lines in the Adams Quad. That was deferred at the April 19th meeting. Appendix items 8.4 and 8.5 are hand-carried emergency reports from the Department of Health for contract awards for the purchase of medication to protect individuals' reproductive rights. Answering any questions.
Great. Thank you so much. And speaking of that, I would like to just take a moment to highlight items 8.4 and 8.5, which are the reports about the emergency procurement from the Department of Health to procure 30,000 doses of mifepristone in response to the federal court ruling that took place in April, which frankly jeopardized access to this critical drug for women and families here in Maryland and across the nation. Something that has been available for decades, but because of this ruling, we now know is under a very unique and distinct attack. And what we saw from this was yet another assault on women's reproductive rights and women's reproductive freedoms. And the Moore Miller administration, in partnership with our colleagues in the legislature and our colleagues on this board, we are united in ensuring that the state of Maryland remains a safe haven for abortion access and quality reproductive healthcare. And at my direction and under Secretary Herrera Scott's leadership, the Maryland Department of Health moved quickly to secure these doses, to establish a stockpile and to ensure if the need arose, that access to these essential drugs would not be compromised at all here in the state of Maryland. And so I want to personally thank Secretary Herrera Scott and her team at MDH for working with urgency and speed to be able to deal and respond to this unfortunate, to this unnecessary, and to this misguided crisis that was created by this federal court ruling in the state of Texas. And so I do want to just to take a moment just to once again be very, very clear that reproductive freedom is non-negotiable, that my administration will continue to defend and protect women's reproductive freedom and access to essential health care here in the state of Maryland. Full stop. And so with that, if my colleagues have any comments as well, I'd love to be able to open up them.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Governor. I really appreciate it. You know, it's interesting when I was running for office, this is not in my prepared remarks, when I was running for office, people sometimes ask, why should the comptroller care about abortion rights? And I think we have that here today. You know, these decisions matter. And this is a really important opportunity. And, you know, for Maryland to double down in expressing its support for women and our reproductive choices. As a former Planned Parenthood intern and member of the board of Naval Pro-Choice Maryland, this is something I care deeply about. And by moving quickly, when the federal court system created uncertainty around the future use and availability of mifepristone, the emergency stockpile will preserve this medication as an important option for individuals seeking safe reproductive health care here in the state of Maryland. Every level of government has been proactive in protecting reproductive health care in Maryland. And I want to thank the General Assembly for its efforts this past session and Attorney General Brown for championing the legal fight against these rulings, which threaten the health and well-being of women across the country. As a member of the Board of Public Works, I'm very proud to support this emergency procurement to protect abortion care here in the state of Maryland. And I just want to thank you so much, Governor, for your leadership, and also Secretary Herrera Scott for really leading the way on this. Thank you for protecting women.
Thank you. And thank you for your leadership as well. Thank you for your leadership as well. Deputy Treasurer.
Sure. Morning, everyone. In speaking to the treasurer about these agenda items, he is fully supportive and echoed many of the sentiments expressed here by the governor and the comptroller as it relates to this agenda item. However, he did want me to ask a few questions as it relates to the procurement itself in light of some of the emergency purchases made by MDH during COVID. So there are two questions the treasurer wanted me to ask.
Absolutely. And so I'd like to ask Deputy Secretary Meraz. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Comptroller Governor Westmore and Chief Deputy Martin, thank you for this opportunity. I'm Brian Morose. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the MDH Healthcare System and Operations, and I'm here for questions.
Thank you. So the two questions the Treasurer wanted to and thank you for all the due diligence you did do, is the product being purchased from a reputable source? And since you all are stockpiling for several years, are there any issues with the expiration dates on the products?
Great. Those are very good questions. Yes. So there were two separate purchases. One went through University of Maryland, and also one was directly from the vendor itself. So they are very clearly reputable sources, as it was the direct vendor for the product on those. We are watching those expiration dates, and we have coordinated our supply to match those dates. And we've talked to vendors about making sure that we could rotate that supply if these are not used, to ensure that they don't expire.
All I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy. Thank you. So you're working with me. Is there any further discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
Can I just make a note on agenda item six, which has to do with our wetlands permits for approval? Just a few weeks ago, the U.S. Supreme Court, not the Maryland Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a troubling decision in Sackett v. EPA that narrows the definition of waters of the USA and therefore may restrict federal authority to regulate certain wetlands. This decision will have serious implications on the ability to regulate the health of the coastal bays and isolated wetlands throughout the Chesapeake Bay region. Fortunately, here in Maryland, we have state wetlands protections in place that are not dependent on federal laws. But these rules may need strengthening to ensure that we're safeguarding wetlands to the greatest extent and that we can enforce our wetlands laws that we have on the books already. We can't look to the federal government for the enforcement that we used to be able to look to. So I'm excited to collaborate with the governor, the treasurer, the General Assembly to make sure we're strategizing on the best path forward to protect the bay. Thanks so much, Governor. And thank you to all of our wetlands administrator at the BPW and all folks who work to protect our wetlands here in Maryland. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for that. Are there any other comments? Okay, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Next up, we have the Department of Natural Resources, Secretary Kurtz. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. Good morning, Madam Comptroller, Deputy Treasurer, and Mr. Governor. For the record, my name is Josh Kurtz. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. Today, the department has 15 items for your consideration. Really excited about all of them. It really runs the gamut of land acquisition, protection, development of parks. We have a really incredible the McFadden Learn and Play in Baltimore City that we're very excited about. So I think this really shows the breadth of work that happens in the protection space and making sure that we're being equitable with our access to our open spaces. So thank you. Happy to take any questions as well as my staff.
Thank you so much. Is there any questions or comments on DNR agenda?
No.
Okay. If not, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Danny, thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. Next up, the University System of Maryland, Jocelyn Johnson from Towson University is for Mr. Hickey and Ms. Johnson. It's good to see you. Good morning.
Good to see you. Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, and Mr. Deputy Treasurer. Again, I'm Jocelyn Johnson, representing the University System of Maryland. We have three items for your consideration this morning, and we are more than happy to answer any questions that you may have.
No questions for me.
No questions?
No questions.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Approved.
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. So we'll proceed now to the MDOT agenda. And Nowski, good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning. Great to see you. Morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Deputy Treasurer. For the record, I'm Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. The department is presenting 29 items today for your consideration. I did want to share a note regarding our item 8. The MDOT Maryland Port Administration is requesting the board's approval to exercise a renewal option on its contract for operations and management of the World Trade Center in Baltimore, November of 2024. The overall terms, dates, and value of the option remain unchanged. In the interest of being proactive, the port recognizes that if it were to be required to reprocure these services in lieu of exercising the option next year, the procurement process could take up to 18 months to complete. We have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much for providing that information. I appreciate it. I mean, I think it is worrisome that it could take 18 months to procure a new contract and really points to need for some changes to our procurement process. Would you agree with that?
Definitely.
Okay. And that concern is why you're bringing this so early.
It is.
Okay. And do you know how long it took to procure this original contract? Was it close to 18 months?
It was between 12 and 18 months.
Okay. Okay.
We try to allow time in case we receive a protest.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it's an indication to us and the Procurement Improvement Council and others that there is work to be done. So I appreciate that. On item 15, which is the MARC third-party operation services for the Penn Line, so this is a renewal option. So I understand that, you know, there isn't a lot of change in this, but could you just explain, you know, why the MBE participation is so low? I understand there's limited subcontracting. Could you explain that?
Absolutely. So back in 2017, when this was first advertised by Maryland Transit Administration, they actually issued a waiver. So only 1.55% of the work could be subcontracted because the actual operation of the train line could not be subcontracted out to any minority businesses. Only the janitorial work, the maintenance of the bathrooms, of basically where the crew works out of, and transportation to get the crew to and from the site was the only work on that entire contract. So MTA acknowledged that, yes, Amtrak couldn't subcontract it out. So they did issue a waiver, which, as you know, MDOT does not do very often. We issued zero waivers all of last year. But they did issue the waiver. And they are actually, it doesn't sound like much, they are actually exceeding the 1.55.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
0.4 currently. 5.49. So the original goal was 4.96 when we advertised.
Okay.
2017.
Thank you for explaining that.
Sure.
Are there any other questions or comments for Mr. Thompson? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
To approve.
Second.
Much as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as always, last but certainly not least, Secretary Chaudhry, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Deputy Treasurer. For the record, I am a Chief Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 72 items on our agenda. We are withdrawing one item, that is 9 CGL. Our agenda features over $24 million in capital grants and loans. Just wanted to highlight just a couple of them here. Item 12, CGL, is $500,000 for the League for People with Disabilities for the expansion of the Cold Spring Lane facility. Previously, $750,000 was issued in grants to this particular location for this project here, which helps support people with physical, cognitive, and developmental disabilities and their families, a very important cause. And also wanted to highlight item 17 CGL, which is $2.4 million for UPMC Western Maryland for the comprehensive design, construction, and renovation to create a new heart and cardiovascular institute in Western Maryland. This new space will consolidate three separate cardiac services into one space, which will help facilitate more efficient patient flow as well as communication, expand services there. And lastly, I wanted to highlight item 22AE, which is a $1.4 million contract for the design services for the new State Police Barrack L, located in Forestville, Maryland. The scope of this overall $13.7 million project includes demolition of the existing barrack and construction of a new barrack and garage as well. When complete, this new barrack will contain a total of approximately 20,000 square feet of new state-of-the-art facilities for state police in that region. This is one of our future many projects that will comply with the 2040 carbon neutrality requirements for the state of Maryland, which in this particular project will use electrification for heating and cooling and other options. So there will be no reliance on fossil fuel at this site except for generator. So great new initiatives using new and modern technology. We've got agency representatives available to answer any questions you may have about the DGS agenda.
Thank you so much. And I do want to also compliment you on the carbon neutrality work that's being done. It's important and it's noticeable. And I think even what you're talking about with the police barracks, that's not just going to help with recruitment and retention and just space and capacity. It's also helping to lead a charge by how we just think about these projects going forward. So thank you and well done. And very briefly, before I call up items 5 CGL and also 18 CGL, which are important investments that we're making in Baltimore City, I also just want to take a moment just to take a bit of a step back and a reflection on the work that's been done here in partnership with this board and with our partners on the board, and specifically the impact that it's had on the city of Baltimore. I know I see Chief of Staff James is here, and it's good to see you, Mayor Scott's Chief of Staff, and thank you for joining us today as well. Since the start of this administration, since the start of this board configuration, and through strategic investments with city government, with nonprofit organizations, and also with private sector partners, we've consistently tried to demonstrate a very sincere commitment to the city of Baltimore and being a very strong and active and very vocal partner for the city of Baltimore, in this time. And whether it is the $400 million Stadium Authority bonds that we authorized last month for capital improvements to M&T Bank Stadium, or $3 million towards Rasch Field, or the $2 million for the National Blacks and Wax, funding for new schools through 21st Century School programs, including the new Frederick Douglass High School. This board and this administration and this state government is proudly embracing its role as a partner and also just a vital ally in the work that we're doing and showing that we are going to be unapologetically pro-Baltimore. And the truth is this is our ninth Board of Public meeting to date, and we are just getting started, where we have directed almost $500 million in state investments to governmental, nonprofit, and private sector stakeholders who are directly involved in shaping Baltimore's future. And I'm very proud to partner with a fellow Baltimorean, our comptroller, and I know Treasurer Davis, who, while he's Prince Georgian, shares our commitment to Baltimore and to the Baltimore region. And while people can look at it and say that, it's easy for you all to say that, and of course you say that, you're Baltimoreans, the truth is we're not doing this because we're Baltimoreans. We're doing this because we understand math. It's the state's largest city, and we need to make sure that we're being good partners inside of this work, because as you are watching the Baltimore region continue to grow, the state of Maryland will as well. It's math. And so we are excited about the investments that you're leading on, the investments that we're doing here in partnership. And today we are advancing two additional investments that I am incredibly excited about. One is item 5 CGL, and that's the $7.5 million capital grant to the Waterfront Partnership of Baltimore. And that's to support the revitalization of and the improvements to the iconic Inner Harbor Promenade. And as one of the most popular and most enjoyed public spaces, not just in Baltimore, but also in the entire state of Maryland, for both residents and also visitors alike, this investment that we're making today and this partnership is going to be critical in ensuring that the promenade will continue to be enjoyed for generations to come. And we are pleased to be joined today by Lori Schwartz, who is the president of the Waterfront Partnership for Baltimore and is spearheading this incredibly, incredibly exciting work. And Lori, if it's okay, we'd love to ask you to join. It is great to see you, as always. And thank you for your leadership and for taking the time here today.
Mr. Governor, Brooke Learman, Comptroller, Deputy Treasurer. It's a true honor to be here today to speak before you, and even a greater honor to hear your words about Baltimore City. It just brings tears to my eyes. Frankly, I'm not a very emotional person typically, but you know, after spending my career in helping to boost Baltimore in a variety of different ways, it's incredibly meaningful. So thank you so much. In brief, Baltimore Center Harbor was redeveloped in the late 70s. Harbor Place opened in 1980. The promenade was completed in 1976. And today it's pretty much outlived its useful life. And so we're incredibly excited to have this first $7.5 million going toward rebuilding of the promenade, which is not only in need of rebuilding, but in elevation, lifting the elevation to mitigate the impact of sea level rise. In fact, in 2012, NOAA issued a study saying Baltimore and Annapolis led the nation in cities that had increased flood days, nuisance flood or sunny day flood days, up to 920% increase in flood days. So it's time. Annapolis is meeting that need, and Baltimore is about to with your commitment. So we want to thank you, along with the rebuilding of the promenade and David Bramble and MCB's rebuilding and reimagining Harbor Place. The city is about to enter its second renaissance for the Inner Harbor. So thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you, Lori, for being here and for all your leadership.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you. And item 18 CGL, and this is another exciting development project over in South Baltimore, and is the Warner Street Entertainment District. And through this item, the state is directing $3 million to support this absolutely game-changing project that, once it is completed, will feature world-class amenities that generate economic revenue, good-paying jobs, and excitement for not just the city, but for the entire state. And my administration is proud to be a partner and the supporter of this project. And I want to commend and thank all the stakeholders that made this happen, that got it here, and for all the people who are going to be working hard to bring this to fruition in the years going forward. And so with that, are there any comments from my colleagues?
Really exciting projects. Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Good, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. And we have a speaker request in support, and thank you so much, Secretary Joy. We have a speaker request in support of item 1 CGL, which is a $1.5 million capital grant to the Benedictine School, and that's over in Ridgely. And while we had our wonderful Lieutenant Governor, who is not able to be here today, visited the Benedictine School in April. And no, I didn't. You can say it again, because it was a great visit. But she did. I was just speaking with her, and she had a message that she wanted to send both to you and the people of this incredible organization. And it's just an opportunity to provide a measure of hope and opportunity for Marylanders with developmental and intellectual disabilities. And the Lieutenant Governor did want me to share that she was able to see firsthand how the capital funding will allow Benedictine to update their residence halls, which date back to the 1960s, into modern dormitories that meet the needs of the community and where the former convent now serves. And this funding will allow Benedictine residents to have a warm, a welcoming residence that meets the unique needs of sensory students, in addition to increasing levels of services that the executive director, Scott Evans, and his wonderful staff are able to provide to Benedictine students. So I hope I didn't take everything that you were gonna say, Bruce, but it is wonderful to see you. Good morning. And I know you're here to speak on behalf of Benedictine School, but it's great to see you.
Wonderful. It's wonderful to be seen, Governor. Mr. Governor, Madam Controller, Mr. Deputy Treasurer. For the record, Bruce Berriano, I'm here on behalf of Benedictine School as a registered lobbyist in strong support. And I want to thank the Secretary as well of this grant provided by the previous administration, but continued by your administration, because I will be coming back in the future because you, Mr. Governor, and your administration and your secretaries were kind enough in your budget to give an additional $2 million, which the legislature gave another $500,000, so that this past session was $2.5 million added to the $1.5 from the previous administration, all a part of a several-year project as you indicated, to redevelop the Benedictine School, which was established in 1959 It is part of the school system of the state of Maryland. All of the 60 residents, most of them that live there, are students that, unfortunately, the public school system cannot teach or take care of. And so they go to Benedictine. And severe autism and other developmentally disabled situations. The lieutenant governor was just fabulous. April 28th, on a Friday, she spent an hour there, and it was very moving, very miraculous. Benedictine cannot thank you enough by having the lieutenant governor there and really seeing what the state's money is doing. And we will be back because we're not done. It's shovel ready. It's working. But I just wanted to take this moment to publicly thank your administration for what you did this past session, what the lieutenant governor did. And I really hope that at some point, maybe you, governor, in your travels, can come by and Madam Comptroller as well. And this is truly an example of so many that you've done of leave nobody behind.
Thank you. Bless you. And I look forward to it, but sincerely, the lieutenant governor literally came back buzzing after the visit. So thank you.
Perhaps on one of your trips over on NACO or MML or what have you, but I'll bug your administration. I will.
Got it.
Have a good day, everyone.
No, you will, Bruce. Thank you so much. Thank you. Of course.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks, Governor. Thank you, Governor. I just wanted to make a quick on item 40 and several successive ones. I wanted to mention and just call out Secretary Lopez and Deputy Secretary White for their new leadership at the Department of Human Services and the attempts to correct serious, serious, serious challenges of the state's residential child care system. The Moore administration has inherited a huge crisis that as Marylanders, I think if everybody knew what was going on, would be really ashamed. And it impacts some of the most vulnerable children in our state who deserve compassionate and appropriate care, and in fact, are legally required to have that. As a delegate, I brought up time and time again the lack of space and care options available to our youth and families, and elevated the concerns of advocates. And actually, you have appointed a new deputy secretary, Resnick, who worked on this with me. So while I have concerns about the general practice of bringing a large number of contracts under one agenda item, I'm pleased to see that these contracts and the provider rate setting reform that will accompany them demonstrates that the Department of Human Services is finally prioritizing Maryland's foster children. And I look forward to continued updates from the department as it improves the residential child care system and eliminates the practice of placing youth with complex behavioral needs in hospitals or institutions when it's not medically necessary. So thank you, Governor, and thank you, Secretary Lopez.
Thank you so much, Madam Castro. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I echo. Thank you, Secretary. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve.
Second. Outstanding. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. And this concludes today's Board of Public Works meeting. The next meeting is going to be on June 21st. Thank you all. Have a wonderful day, and we are officially adjourned.